And to us, give us the number of times when we have been called on Sunday time, which we often did 12, 13, 14 hours a day in the very early years. And invariably, we would agitate the deans about the group. All the world becomes joyous hearing your names, and thus they become attached to you. But the demons are afraid, and they flee here and there. In this case, they didn't flee here and there, they came after us and threw us in jail. So they would take away our big bags, they would take away everything. So, you know, we would rip up pieces of dhoti and make some beads and chant. And I remember being in jail. In Santa Cruz lockup, charged with murder in the first degree. So, myself and nine others. So, again, we didn't have anything, but we went to our tent, we would clap our hands. And we would hit anything we could, our sides, or someone had a big backside that would hit that. And we'd clap our hands, and we would have cheers on. So, we don't need facility to chant Hare Krishna. Just recently we were on our Maharaj Vihari Silver Jubilee. A number of us, including Radhana Swami, we went to Sea Palace Hotel, downtown Chabria, who thought that stayed at his hotel for 2 months in the early days. He gave us the whole second floor of his hotel. We wouldn't stay there, and God would stay there. So we went there to see him. He's 86 or 87 now. Maybe 88, I don't know. Every year he seems to be getting older. So we were sitting around talking about the old days, Gurudas. Was talking about how in that room where we were, the very first memorandum of association was signed, the beginning of ISKCON India, legally. So then Ram Chandra said, let's have kirtan. Of course, we were totally unprepared, no cartels, no madanga or anything. So I picked up a fork and began hitting a glass, ting, 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 ting. Somebody else picked up a plate and began hitting bang, 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 bang. It's quite a nice case. I'm very excited to have that on video. If any of you want to see it sometime, VCD. So we don't need facility to chant Hare Krishna. We need a heart. We need a desire. We need to develop such a strong desire to serve Krishna, to please Krishna, to go to Krishna, that desire is indiscernible from lust and greediness. It's so intense, that desire. We think about it in the morning, we think about it in the afternoon, we think about it in the evening, and we sleep thinking about it. I want to go back to Godhead. I want to get out of the material world. I don't want to have to take birth in this place again. It's called Lodu. That's the Lodu. So, once, as I may have said before, I was discussing this, Kumar Krishna Goswami, we were talking about Krishna and the spiritual world. And then Kumar later spoke to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada asked what we would discuss, and I had said that I was quoting from Jiva Goswami that the material world of Gokula, Gokula Vrindavan, is more sweet, there's humanness there. Goloka Vrindavan is very opulent. Of course, it's sweet too, but the opulence is overpowering. But here, there's no opulence in this material world. We were just reading this morning about Maharaj Yudhisthira. Maharaj Yudhisthira, he is more famous than Indra. Now, Indra performed 100 Aswamedha Yagyas. Yudhisthira only performed 3. But his 3 Aswamedha Yagyas is described that he was more opulent than Lord Indra. Why? Because Lord Krishna and Arjuna were his right and left arms. He was protected by them in the Battle of Kurukshetra. The whole Battle of Kurukshetra was fought basically between Duryodhana and Maharaj Yudhisthira. And Sanjay said that wherever there's Krishna and Arjuna, the Supreme Master, the Supreme Mystic, and the Supreme Archer, Dhanagar, there will always be victory, opulence. So, Yudhisthira, because he was a strict moralist, because he was a man of integrity, because he had no enemies, Ajata Shatru, because he was the son of Dhammaraj. That's very interesting too, because in this particular section in the Bhagavatam, the Dura is asking about the welfare of his own son. Although he's Vidura now, but formerly as Yama, he begot Yudhisthira within the womb of Kunti. And then he's down here as Vidura. He's asking about his son, and there's one situation. Of course, Ariyama took over his responsibilities there while he went on Yatra. Yamaraj, very responsible demigod. And he's so responsible and so devoted to Lord Krishna, and so great a personality. They're all Mahajanas. But Yamaraj was also very special. He was given one of the most important posts to adjudicate or a lot. Just like in Bombay, the man who gives housing allotments, it's so hard to get a good house or a good place. The man who's in charge of giving houses, MIDC or something, Maharashtra Housing Development, something like that. He's an important man. Probably gets the most bribes than anyone. You can tell a person in this world by how many bribes they're getting, what their level is on the pecking order, you know. So, Yudhisthira's in the forest, and they come to a lake, and all the four brothers drink the water and die. And there's this unseen voice asking these questions, and that's also Yamaraj, or his assistant, Aryama. So it was a very, very wonderful pastime. But Yudhisthira, that was his qualification. That great personality. And also we should be prepared to preach Krishna consciousness, serve Lord Krishna, and like the gopis, we should be prepared to not put on dresses or makeup. Some people actually do that, even they have rasa, they're men, but they put on saris. Believe it or not, you've got to see it to believe it. They put on saris, they put on lipstick and makeup, and they have rasa thinking that they're gopis. No. We will act in the mood of the gopis, and that means samarpana. It means full surrender. We will completely surrender to Krishna, and someday, hopefully, spontaneously. Is this where we reading? Is this a verse we're reading here? Huh? What? Speak loudly. Any verse, okay. Today I'm reading from any chapter, any verse. Okay, I like that. Man with humor. Okay. Adrishtapurvam rushitasmi drishtva bhavena cha pralapitam manome tadeva medasya deva rupam kasida devesha jadanirasa. After seeing this universal form, which I had never seen before, I'm gladdened. But, at the same time, my mind is disturbed with fear. Therefore, please bestow your grace upon me and reveal again your form as the personality of Godhead, O Lord of Lords, O abode of the universe. So Arjuna has just seen the Virata Rupa, universal form, which is actually, it's not a substantial form in the sense that it's not an eternal form. But it is existing for those who cannot understand Krishna as a person. Now, it's interesting, in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, just after Madhva, some of the acharyas expressed a doubt about Brahma Vimohan Leela. Because after all, this is the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya, and how can Lord Brahma be an illusion and commit offenses against Lord Krishna? That doesn't go down too well, didn't go down with throat, and he choked on that one. But the fact is that A, it is not any threat to the transcendental position of Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma, Tejiya Samnad Doshaya, we cannot compare ourselves to such exalted persons and their Divya Leela.
Lord Brahma also, in one incarnation, he became lusty after his daughter. So are we to think that our sampradaya is full of child abusers? I hope not. But Lord Brahma cast off that body. And he was also attacked by homosexuals. But Lord Brahma is often none other than Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu often takes the post of Lord Brahma. If it's not Haridas Thakur, then it's some other great personality occupying the post of Lord Brahma, or it's Vishnu himself. So anyway, in the Brahma-Vimohan Lila, you know the story, Lord Brahma tried to impress Krishna with his mystic powers by stealing the cows and cowherd boys, and finally, when he saw that his potency was very small in front of Lord Krishna, then he surrendered and begged forgiveness. So, this form, there are people who just, they can't conceive of God being a little blue-black coward boy. And if you were to step back, just go back in your life, maybe 10, 15, 20 years, maybe even only 3, 4, 5 years for some of you. If you were to, someone were to walk up to you and say, God is a little boy, 7 years old, and he goes around lifting mountains with his little finger. He swallows forest fires whenever he likes, and he kills demons, especially women that expand to 12 miles long after he sucks out their breast. And, you would say, hey, I'm doing M.Tech at IIT. Don't fret it. Don't try to fool me with this mythology. It's not easy to surrender. And in fact, probably some of us sitting here today, even though we are experienced devotees, we still have a few problems. We're waiting for darshan patiently, but we may not have full faith. It is hard to understand. So not to speak of those who are engaging in devotional service and at least are prepared to accept it, what about those who are meat eaters? What about those who are debauchees, drunkards, murderers? What about them? Very hard for them. Just like we know in this age, people were using Hinduism to justify their sin gratification. They were using the Vedas, saying this is there in the Vedas, therefore we can slaughter animals. Brahmins used to kill. They were trying to justify their desires to enjoy sin gratification by quoting the Vedas. Better they left the Vedas alone and just said, I'm a meat eater and, who cares for you? But it was offensive to try and justify their nonsense by using the Vedas. So it became so rampant that everything was being spoiled so early in Kali Yuga too. Just like in the horse races, the horse that gets off to a quick start, gets in the lead, whatever, they often win the race. So right at the beginning, it's very important to have your horse in a special position so that he jumps out of the gate. That's it. In Kali Yuga, the demons they got a quick start. They jumped out ahead. So, this Lord Krishna in his perfect wisdom, he did not try to convince, and there is an element, although in one sense everything is predestined, but there is an element of choice. And this is reiterated, this is re-spoken, it is established again and again and again, because it's a major question that comes up. Is everything predestined? Then I don't have to surrender to Krishna until he destines me to do it. No, you have free will. You have to choose to love Krishna. So, in Kali Yuga, Krishna, he introduced Buddhism first. He didn't jump directly to Radha Krishna worship. First of all, he introduced Buddhism and Ahimsa Paro Dharma. Stop killing animals. You know, in class, when someone is just a troublemaker, you try to teach them, and then the teacher's here. Anyway, probably not. You try to teach certain, you know, certain kids who are just, you gotta be patient, otherwise you just, you know, give them a big slap. You gotta be patient. Some of the kids, they just make so much trouble, you can't even teach them, they can't learn. So you say, all right, you just go over in the corner and put on the dunce cap. Don't do anything. And in the West they have this, it's like a cone, you know. It's, I don't know how to describe it, a cone head. It's a hat they put called the Dunstan's Dance Stupid. Boo-boo. So he just put on the dunce cap. So, Lord Krishna, Lord Buddha came and said, all right, you guys, just go in the corner and put on this Buddhist cap. Don't do anything. Don't worship God. Don't study Vedas. Don't kill animals. Just follow what I say. Then gradually Shankaracharya came and introduced Advaitava. No, it's not Shunya. It's Nirvishesha. Very close, but not the same. At least they accepted the Vedas and Acharya. And then gradually came Ramanuja, Madhya, Nimbarka, Vishnu Swami. And even then there was some little confusion. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, swam Sri Krishna to give us Veda Vedhatva. But some people, they just can't conceive of God as a person. So something there must be there for them. Just like here, we saw in the video, you know, they say, such a nice temple, everyone's made to feel at home. Do you feel at home? Do you feel like it's a family? And that is on video now. So everyone said that there's a place for everyone. Nobody's rejected. Well, Krishna also operates under the same philosophy. There's a place for everyone. And the Sriram Rupa is for the dunce cap people. It's for the people who can't love the form. So Arjuna, actually the Bhagavad Gita was finished in 10 chapters, really speaking. Krishna told him, you're not the body, yoginamapi sarvesham, bhakti yoga is the way, this is how you can see me everywhere, in my opulence, I'm here, I'm there. He explained everything to him at the end of 10 chapters, Sarvami Pandukamma. I mean, more or less, that comes later, but still, Arjuna understood everything. But he went on asking questions just to stress, just to make everything crystal clear. Still people understand. Therefore you can understand how bad it is in Kali Yuga. Manga Sumanga Makayo Manga Bhagya. Believe me, this phrase refers to all of us. Striyo Vaishastata Sudra Stekianti Parangatin. We all come in the same category. Either we're Mama or we're Sudra. Very few Vaishas. No, we have no real intelligence. Therefore, Arjuna is asking more questions. The 12th chapter is very nice because Arjuna and Lord Krishna, they establish clearly that above everything else, bhakti yoga, devotional service. Those who want to meditate on the impersonal energy, their progress is very, very difficult. But those who worship me with love and devotion, they're very dear to me. So, Arjuna is always in this consciousness of serving Krishna, and after establishing that, he's compared the two, the Virat Rupa and having Krishna as his loving friend. And I give this example sometimes. It's kind of graphic. I don't know how many of you, I really don't know, so I'm just asking, do you have sugar cubes in India when you drink coffee? You get sugar cubes and that you put in your coffee. So what would you rather do? Would you rather be a sugar cube, or would you rather taste a sugar cube? What sounds more enlightening? To be a lump of sugar or to taste a lump of sugar? I think taste a lump of sugar is much more satisfying. So would you rather be God, or would you rather love God, embrace God, dance with God? Should we put you up on the altar? Decorate you with nice flowers and dresses and offer you food that you can't touch, you can just look at and eat? Because you've got to leave it all for the devotees. I think it's more than being Mahaprasad, frankly. So, Arjuna wanted that association again. He was hankering after it. He was disturbed by seeing all the fearful of things happening within the Virat Rupa. And these confidential aspects of devotional service, Lord Chaitanya recommends five things that are quintessential. Of course, one of them is to chant Hare Krishna. Now this is something that you don't always see in the world of devotees. When we chant Hare Krishna, we should have already come to the conclusion that I am a Vaishnava. I am dedicating my life to serving Lord Krishna, and I don't care what my relatives think. I don't care what the people in general think, because they're all Buddha. I remember being on a Sankirtan party in early days in Vancouver, and there were only three of us. That was our temple, three devotees. Seven devotees. Big temple, you know. So one guy would chant, and two would pass out invitations to the temple. I remember thinking it was my hometown. I was the only one there. I was the first one in Western Canada to join. And I could have met anyone. All my college friends, or school friends, or family friends, whatever. We could have just, you know, that was a busy street, busiest street in the city. Everybody walked by the Hudson's Bay department store. And I used to think, you know, I'd be chanting, people walking by, I mean, wow, this is so great. All these people are crazy, and I'm the only one who's sane. So that gave me a good feeling, you know. But it's true. And you also should be fully, if you don't feel that this is the right path, you may be so far along on the path, but if you haven't decided it's the right path, then, you know, maybe you should look for the right path. This is the right path. There are different degrees of journey on the path, but this is the right path. And when we chant Hare Krishna, we should chant with feeling. Or as they say, Bhagavad Prem Sibali. We should chant all names with gusto, as Mercy Avatar says. Or Madhu say, with gusto. Chant Hare Krishna with feeling. So, don't worry. Just let your whole heart come out. Let every, you know, just like in yoga, you do one of the most important asanas that all devotees like. Is that one where you lie down on your back and go to sleep? Vajrasana. What is it called? Stravasana. Yeah, Stravasana. One of my favorite. So, but they teach you to, you know, bring all the energy from your toes, from your fingers. Imagine all that energy coming to your heart. That you're all your chakras, you know, swirl and whatever. Or the shaman will tell you more when she comes. But when you chant, you should let all your energy come to your heart and to your larynx. Larynx is right there. That's what makes you say, Hare Krishna, the larynx, the voice box. Your long range of so we should chant with real enthusiasm. Then we can taste a little bit of the nature of the holy name, and then that's the what we call the gusto superiore, higher taste. That is the higher taste that we really hanker after. So this chanting of Hare Krishna is one of the most important elements in devotional service. And we actually have to learn how to chant. As I told you before, and it's a fact, it's not a myth, Prabhupada said that it took him many, many years to perfect his chanting. So you need not feel impotent because, you know, a few thoughts enter your mind while chanting. Apuryamana machala pratishtam samudramapa pramishanti yadva tadvakkaniyam pravashanti sarvesa shantimapnoti nakamakami. Just like many rivers enter into the ocean. but the ocean is always still. It doesn't get affected. Similarly, so many desires are coming from our purvashram, from our pocket bees, the seeds which are not yet fructified, sinful desire seeds from our koti janma, from so many lifetimes. All these things are hitting us now when we're trying to chant. So it may be difficult, but Krishna says, no, you have to try. You tell it all nishchalati, manas chanchalamas. Wherever the mind wanders, you bring it back. Abhyasena, if you practice, you'll be successful. So it's a science. Prabhupada took time. So you plan scientifically to perfect your chanting, both in utsa and in focus. Enthusiasm and focus also. Dhaya. Nischa means determination. Dhaya means patience. All these are needed in chanting. Chanting is so important. It's our connection with Krishna. Anavriti Shabda, by sound you will be free. Ekam nirvidyamana nichito, ichitam akutova, yogina, nirvidyamitam harinam, nichitam. Constant chanting, satatam kirtanantama. This is the process. And then the second thing is to associate with the devotees. They're both important, but they're listed in that order. Because practically we don't chant until we associate with devotees. Abhas, Shrabhatata, Sadhu, Sangha. From Sadhu, Sangha we get Bhajana Kriya. We get engaged in Bhajana Kirtan by Sadhu. Therefore, Swapamapyasya, therefore, Lavamatra Sadhu Sangha. It's 1/11th of a second. Again, that sounds fantastic. 1/11th of a second. How fast is 1/11th of a second? You know, it's 1/11th of a second. You know, is that much association going to really, you know, Sadhu went up, another Sadhu went up? Always said, wow, I feel ecstatic, how do you go? No, that's not the idea. The idea is that if you can get 1/11th, you should try to get 11/11ths. Or maybe even 12/11ths of a second. You should try to get more association, and more and more. Just like Krishna says, that Apichet Sudaracharo, if someone is actually trying to serve me, even if he's sudur-achar, still, I will rectify him, so you should consider him saintly. And then he goes on to say, supram bhava-bhidam, what to speak of brahmanas who engage in my service? What to speak of elevated persons? How much more glorious they are? So, how much more wonderful it is if we can have constant association with Vaishnavas. And that's also a science. Nothing is left up to imagination. The whole process is the science of Krishna consciousness. We're offering PhD degrees, or the BI is offering PhD degree. PhD degrees. Govinda Sru used to have a sign on his door, professor of philosophy. He was a PhD in philosophy. We're offering PhD degrees in consciousness because it's on the cutting edge of science. That's our line. We've always been pointing to consciousness as the important element in our lives. So, there's a science to this association. And we have to learn how to associate properly. Hare Krishna Sevaya. We have to learn from the Upadesha-amita, Bhikshasthi-cet-pramati-bhishtha-bhajanta-nisham. We have to learn how to mentally offer respect to some, to physically serve others, to adore and worship others, how to make friends, vidati, pratigranati, guyamakyati, principi. Each one of these descriptions of the science can take you years and years to perfect. Or perfection is an ongoing stage of ever-increasing perfection. There's nothing like absolute perfection. You can always get better. Therefore, association should be taken very, very seriously. For dhyanam samarchanam. Practically, our only business here is to serve the Vaishnavas. I have no hope of becoming Vaishnava. In the coming floors of this, I have no hope to become a sadhu. But if I can just serve a sadhu, then someday, maybe I will become a sadhu, simply person, a devotee, a real devotee. So that is our humble mood. And we should read Srimad Bhagavatam. Mahuraho Rasika Bhuri Bhavata. You should read Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Svadhamo Pagatri Dhamma Jnana Vibhisaha. Now that Krishna's left, gone back upstairs to the first floor. Here we are in Gokul, Vrindavan, and Goloka's up there, right? The opulence. We're down here on the ground level with the common folks again. But this is gone, he's left, it appears. And where do we find him now? In Srimad Bhagavatam. He comes alive. And you only know that when you read it. Because you won't know it just by accepting it. You have to actually do it, read it, feel it, believe it, live it. Then Srimad Bhagavatam becomes a transcendental book. Otherwise it's just papyrus, it's just paper, it's just trees and ink. And that's all you see it as. And that's all it is trees and ink. Just like if you see stone, the deities aren't there. If you see Radha Gopinath, he'll talk to you in different ways. He'll talk to you. He'll help you answer your test papers and help you get a raise in pay and all kinds of good things. My uncle in Jitendra, Burma, and in his house a year ago, one girl came and she said that she was writing her exam and she wanted blessings. You know, that's usually why India people come to a sadhu and they give some dakshina and they worship sadhu as God. And then they ask for blessings and he's so happy. He says, oh, blessings, blessings. And then they go out and do their nonsense. He's happy, he's got his dakshina, they're happy, they got the blessings, and they go on with their sinful life. But, I want to pass my exam, I want to get a good mark, please give me your blessing. I said, alright, but you must chant one round a day for 6 months or something. So I was having, you know, no rounds? No blessing. In America, some of the first people to run cleaning shops, laundries, were Chinese. So there was always a saying, you know, if you lost your laundry tickets or something, they said, no tiki, no washi. No tempting, no blessings.
Yeah.
So she agreed, and she chanted for whatever it was, 6 months. And so she got, I think, 93%. So she was very, very happy. She came back, thank you, Swamiji, it was all your blessing. I said, yes. Now I want 2 months for the next year. So, Krishna, it's so cool. We have to read Srimad Bhagavatam. No, actually, we don't have to read Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to study Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to worship Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to follow Srimad Bhagavatam. This description of our Yudhisthira is such a perfect man. Really, a man of such strong character. He would rather die than not keep a promise. And seriously, not just for say, I'm very strongly attached to my promises, so I would rather die. You didn't keep that promise. Well, you can't always do what you say you're going to do. There's some reasons. No, you just say, I don't keep my promise, then I kill myself. With that strong a person, you could go to him and depend on him. Such a person, you could give your life to him. In fact, he got a little too far out. He didn't want to tell a lie, and Krishna told him to tell a lie, and he didn't, and therefore he had to undergo a little, punishment. Because when Krishna tells you to lie, then you lie. But it should be Krishna, not your imagination. For all intents and purposes, Prabhupada wanted us to be brahmanas. He wanted us to at least be perfect gentlemen. And a perfect gentleman does not lie. There's no need. Super soul is within the heart. It's not like you go in a closet and close the door and no one will see. Now I can cheat. Now I can lie. Now I can do all the Krishna can't see. It's dark in here. I turned out the light. No windows. Krishna's within the heart of every living being, is within every atom. His eyes and ears are everywhere. There's no point in lying. Might as well just relax. Tell the truth and live with it. Krishna will protect you. People say if you don't lie, you can't get ahead in society. Well, who wants to get ahead in this animal society? If you don't lie, you can't be a big animal. I don't want to be a big animal. Well, go ahead, because I want to get out of this zoo. I want to get out of this menagerie. So I'll try to tell the truth and I'll live with it. And we should try to live in a transcendental environment. Of course, Rupa Goswami says Vrindavan or Banaras or Haridwar, some holy place, once in Jamayapur, once he tried to live in some holy place. And that's very good. If any of you can, in your old age, you should move to Vrindavan, if you can. That's nice. Prabhupada wanted. When you're 95, you should. Until you're 95, we're going to squeeze every drop of your energy for preaching. Now that, actually, maybe earlier than 95. 94, 93. But this is a transcendental atmosphere. Now, what does that mean? It means we should try to come here as often as possible. We're not just a Sunday-to-Sunday religion, right? In Vrindavan, people go to the temple every morning. In Vedic culture, the temple was the center of business. It was the center of culture. It was the center of everything. Because just like if you go to this Rangana, Ranga Kshetra, there's so many layers around the central temple. And there are different things happening there. And in Mayapur, when we build our community, there will be Brahmins in the inner core, and in the outer core there will be Vaishyas. So, but the temple will be the center of everyone's life. So if you can't go to Vrindavan or Mayapur or wherever, then at least you should visit the temple as often as possible, because you just never know when you may run into the sadhu for 1/11th of a second. You might hear something. I know a devotee who was very simple. But he just happened by here, and just out of curiosity, right? There's four kinds of people who come: those who are curious, those who are interested and want money, those who are suffering, those in knowledge. But the curious, they come, he came, and he heard something that he liked. He had to go, he had an appointment, for some simple activity. And, but he determined he was going to come back again, and he did, and gradually he became purified. So you should come here to the temple as often as you can. That's important. You should serve the deities. Brahmacharis do not need a temple like this. We can jump in the back of a van, even if it only has three wheels. We can take whatever we get. We can go anywhere and preach. Literally, we can live under a tree if need be. A brahmachari has a couple of sets of cloth, two copans. You know the story of the yogi who had two copans. Loma Sarishi, great example, lives practically as long as Lord Brahma. Loma Sarishi, great sage, lives practically as long as Lord Brahma. During his bhajan, during his tapasya on the shore of the ocean, sun shining down on his head, very hot, his disciples approach him. Maharaj, please let us build a bhajan kutir, a small one, made of grass for you. No, life is too short. Don't bother. But householders need a place where they can come every day, if possible, every couple of days, whatever, and recharge their spiritual batteries, because they're associating with non-devotees in an atmosphere which may be polluting. And you need to inoculate yourself again and again and again. You don't get infected. And you can do that by seeing the beautiful plants of Radha Gopinath. Now you can have deities in your house, and that's nice. But there's a lot of things that you're not going to get at your own little temple in your house that you will get at the main temple. A lot of things. Association of devotees, big kirtans which are inspiring and enlivening, hearing different verses, different angles of vision, being stimulated philosophically, so many things. So, okay, we don't go to Vrindavan or Mayapur yet, but at least the temple, we should come here and be here as often as possible. It's very easy to be Krishna conscious if you're a brahmachari. It's a great privilege. It is really a tremendous blessing. Because it's easy, everything. Just like Prabhupada said, someone asked him about living away from the temple. And Prabhupada said, it's like there's stock exchange. He said that if you want to buy, if you have an office in the stock exchange and you want to buy, immediately there are people who want to sell right there. And if you want to sell, immediately there's someone who wants to buy. It's very easy to do business. If your office is a few streets over or, you know, a mile away, it's a little harder to find buyers and sellers. So, in the same way, it's important to come here somehow or other, even if you come for 1 or 11 for the second, come for some part of the day. And then the last one is, what's the last one? To live in Vrindavan, to render service to the devotees, to read Srimad Bhagavatam, to chant the holy names, and to... worship the deity! Woo! Honest to God, right? Worship the deity. Yeah, offering wonderful prasadam. There are 5 things in deity worship. Punctuality, cleanliness, offering nice prasadam, cleanliness, punctuality, offering nice prasadam, simpleness. Anyway, the 5th one is to do something special for Krishna. And I was just recently reading, someone was telling how that their consciousness was that they would always, always think whenever they came to the temple. They made it a rule, and they got into a habit, and they did it. They would always think of something special to bring the deity. Whether it was some special flower that had just come in the market, or some fruit, or some imported nuts, or whatever it is. We used to keep at the entrance of the temple, we used to keep some rice, a little bowl of rice. Anybody who entered, you know, now you just go, ding, I'm here, announce your presence, ding. But we used to keep rice, and you take some rice, and you go up to the deity in front of the end, offer the rice. At least that much you could do anyway. So we should always bring something special for the deity. And in this age also, it is very important, in any age, it is very important that we learn to protect the brahmanas, the cows, women, children, and old sannyasis. So, of course, brahmanas we protect because they create the atmosphere. They are protecting Sanatana Dharma. They're the abode of our philosophy that we live our life by. So, Brahminical culture, when there's no Brahminical culture, the rest of society falls apart. And we protect the cows, and we should protect the cows. There should be an active program for Goraksha. Even if we're not vicious, it's our duty to protect the cows. Because they produce milk, and milk preserves the fine brain tissue, which is able to discriminate between real and unreal, between self and asat, between the material world and the spiritual world, between maya and illusion. it is a fine discrimination. And one should take always good buffalo milk. I mean, good cow's milk. Don't take buffalo milk. It's not so good for you. You can have it in the day, but please avoid buffalo milk. It's not meant for human consumption, actually. Too much fat content and many other things. It's the sweat. All that sweat, you know, they have such rough skin. So it doesn't go out the pores of the body, it goes into the milk, all those dirty things in their body that should be sweated out through their pores. And of course the bull plows the fields and gives us food grains, our diet. So protecting the cow and the bull, our mother and our father, very, very spiritual. Not only practical, but very spiritual. Protecting women. Arjuna protested that if I kill the kings, the women will be unprotected and they'll be Varnashankara. And there was, that's us. Welcome to the Varnashankara universe. Because the family traditions were lost, women were not protected, they were exploited, as they still are being exploited in Kali Yuga and the bad progeny. Bad progeny. And you can't, nobody can be happy with bad progeny. So women must be protected, and Prabhupada always said, by son, by father, by husband, and by oldest son. Always protected. And he did not say that, he simply said that men and women were different. They had different services. It is modern society's conjecture that we're saying women are inferior. Not at all. They're different. It's all they do, a different service. And Prabhupada would repeatedly argue with reporters, especially females, that a man cannot get pregnant. And they would go off in some pageant and say, but can a man get pregnant? Well, no, but... And then they would go off and say, he would always bring them back to this point. You have a service to do to Krishna. Your nature is different. Men have a different nature. And so they work together. And women should be protected. Otherwise, when they get exploited, when they get impregnated, either they avoid pregnancy by prophylactic, by... just whatever condom, and then, or else garb. Either way, they're sinful. They get involved in sinful reaction. Or if they become pregnant, then they depend on the government. And again, they cause difficulty in society. So, but it's not their fault. So women have to be protected and children have to be protected. Right from the very beginning, Garbhadhan Sanskar, very important. If we are going to have children, and there may be many of you householders, it's your duty to have children. Putrahinam Griham Sunyam, without children. Ideally a son is good, at least one, but whatever, sons or daughters, but without children, family life is void. The purpose is to bear children, go through the difficulty of raising children so you learn a lesson so that you never want to come back to the material world again. Brahmacharis don't get those good lessons. They just read about them and try to learn by hearing. The asanas, you know, they become attached. This Bhagavatam says this, hear the soft pitter-patter of the children's feet on the house floor, and they hear the children in their broken language, da-da. Oh, my boy. And then a little while later, you know, their kids do all kinds of terrible, horrible things, but they're attached and they suffer. Well, hopefully not, don't do horrible things, but still the potential is there. So after, you know, 5 or 10 pregnancies, one may learn, enjoyable, but a little painful too. 9 months versus, you know, a few moments. I think, you know, it's not a good trade-off. 9 months of suffering and a few moments of enjoyment. I think I'll stop now. Go back to Krishna. So everybody learns. The ashram is an ashram for learning. But children should be protected right from the very beginning. Bharva Dhan Sanskara. I don't know how many people do that. How many people are aware of Bharva Dhan Sanskara, what it means, what it is in this country? Nobody knows. Bharva Dhan Sanskara? Aap sab se kitna jante Bharva Dhan Sanskara, kya matlab? Gentlemen, anybody know what it is? Ekalavya knows. When he's playing on his trumpet, if you read in between the notes, it's Bharva Dhan Sanskara. Well, a disciple of mine in Slovenia recently told me, she wrote to me, she was very happy because I had told them, you know, they didn't know what to do. They knew what to do, but they didn't know what to do in the sense that, well, children are a botheration. Interfere with our service. So I said, all right, you want to have children, but then celibate, can't have sex. You know, they don't like that one. So anyway, I said you practice Bharva Dhan Sanskara, and this is what it is. That you decide on a particular time, you invite some close friends over, you have kirtan, you tell them of your desire to conceive a child. It's not, you know, hush-hush behind the door, it's not secret. You tell some close friends, you ask for their blessings, you distribute some gifts to the brahmacharis, whatever. And then the day before, you chant 50 rounds minimum. And then you pray to Krishna to send a little demigod or goddess, Durga appears in your womb, or whatever. Somebody nice, at least a preacher. And, you know, that's only the beginning. There are many sanskaras to perform, but it's a science. So children are always protected, and that gives us a hope for the future, for purity. Bharva Dhan Sanskara means perfection, means perfect life. To bring a pure soul into a perfect environment. That is really that's a PhD in genetic engineering. That's really the best of the best. Genetic engineering, you know what that is? Anyway, we won't get into that. But. And then protection of old sannyasis. Should give them all nice cars, big bank accounts, and the old people, you know, it's such a fiction. And their television, and sauna bath, and this and that and that. And then they just travel around America from holiday resort to holiday resort. Sometimes they go over to Europe and travel over there. And, you know, the young people are slaving away and having to pay heavy taxes because the old people. And they just, they're thinking, ah, I just want to get those guys and put them in an old age home. And that's very sad. But it's the cheaters and the cheater. No, old people should be protected because they've got a wonderful opportunity to develop perfection. In their old age, they can focus, they can give up all responsibilities and, you know, look, you're 95, I don't know why you're not in the office, you should be back there doing your... No. Even at 65, maybe even at 55, you've got a right to take time to study the Shastra, to travel to holy places, to prepare. And we should all have that chance. We should provide it for old people, and we should look forward to the day when we will also have that time. Because now, today, in our middle age, youth, we have to work. We have to preach. We have responsibilities to execute. People like Arjuna, like Yudhisthira, they were very responsible persons. And very often in the preaching shastras, there are more references to kshatriyas, or people who do things, rather than just the brahmanas, you know. A whole chapter on one brahmana. Still it changes around, you know. Five days later, yeah, it's changing around. It's still a very exciting book, you know. Oh, he just finished his, you know, 600th round, and he's taking a tulsi, and he's eating it. Now he's back turning his rounds again. You're hearing about kings, and you're hearing about, you know, great creatures going out and boldly sharing the message of Krishna with so many people, even great risks like Haridas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu. They could have stayed back at Jagannath Puri and, you know, sat around with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ate Mahaprasad and, you know, chilled out a little bit. But they wanted to preach. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered them to preach, whether they wanted to or not. And I know they wanted to. Because they had so much love that they could, it was spilling over. They wanted to give it to others. So that's our role here at Radha Gopinath Temple. And at Radha Giridhari Temple, and Radha Rasgiri Temple, and Radha Govinda Temple, and Radha Shyam Sundar Temple, and Radha, whatever it is, there'll be so many temples. Our business as devotees is to preach the message of Srila Prabhupada. We're making progress because of Srila Prabhupada's potency. I may tell you this. Acharya Pasam, Acharya Van, Uso Veda. Because we've got our Acharya, therefore we are making advancement. We're all just little monkeys serving Lord Ram. We're all just tiny servants of Srila Prabhupada. We're making progress. And Prabhupada gave his life for preaching. He kept begging us. He kept begging us, please take the management away from me so I can sit and retire and write my books at 80 years old, at 75 years old. Please, let me do this. But we couldn't do it then. So he kept managing. He wouldn't say, all right, I'm disgusted with you people. I'm going to Vrindavan. And I've got rooms in Radhadam. I'm going back there. I was happy there. You guys can all go to hell. No, he stayed with us. He handled our petty problems. He gave us his love. He was there. Now it's our responsibility to go out and do the same thing. To give ourselves to others, to bring them here, to share with them the love of Srila Prabhupada, the love of our spiritual master who is passing out the Mahaprasadam from Srila Prabhupada. That's our business. So, are there any questions or comments? Yes, sir. Is that a Ramanuja throughout your life? Ramanandi, right? Ramanandi, yes, that's it. Basically, it was originally from Ramanuja. Service, and you know yourself that you're doing that is not so visible. So because it's not so visible, you know in your own heart you're doing it, but they don't see it and they're always telling you. Is that it?
He has to sometimes tell that somewhere else comes here to the temple. They don't appreciate that.
Oh, your parents.
Who are waiting for you to devotion?
Oh. See, a devotee has to be expert at lying also. Dori machi nachui pani. How to go fishing without getting wet. It's very important to come to the temple and associate with devotees. There's nothing more important than life. So, you should learn how to lie without lying. Just like Lord Krishna instructed Yudhisthira to say, Aswatthama, the elephant, is dead. And then Brahma was, oh, my son's dead, oh, and he laid down his arms. So, because he thought that Yudhisthira would never lie, he must be telling the truth. And he wasn't really lying. Krishna had gone out and killed the elephant, Aswatthama. Aswatthama, the elephant. The elephant was said. I haven't gone to the Muslim temple. Something like that.
You have to work it out.
But always something. Even Haridas Thakur, you know,
he was beaten
because of his, he wouldn't stop chanting. So Krishna says of gamblers, I am the cheat. So Krishna will adjust material energy for in either one of two ways. In one way he'll adjust material energy so you'll never get caught. In another way he'll adjust the material energy so you'll get caught, but the people who catch you will make spiritual advancement by chastising you. Don't go to the Hare Krishna temple again. I don't want these Hare Krishnas interfering with our lives. We are devotees of Krishna, and anyway, don't go to the Hare Krishna temple. Hare Krishna, or, you know, something though. Some way, it's auspicious. You know, don't worry. If you have a sincere desire to serve Lord Krishna, now, that may mean that you come to the temple for a fixed time. You don't hang around with the brahmacharis talking about all kinds of little things. You come, you get a little instruction, do a little service, and then, until, what's your age? 20. Oh my gosh. Anyway, what to do? Are you expecting to get your father's business, or what's the big deal? They want you to study. Oh, that's good. You can tell them, I am studying. God will give you. But, you know, still, you could theoretically come here and study for your exams. I'm sure the devotees would understand and give you a place to study for your exams. Yeah, hey, it's good that the devotees should be successful. You know, if all of us, A to Z, were all, you know, construction workers, not that there's anything wrong with being a construction worker, but, you know, if all of us were, you know, like carrying around stones, and everybody here, you know, came to the temple and led to, so what do you call that, that little plate? Let it carry the cement and rocks and things.
Mela.
Huh? Kumbh Mela. What do they call it?
Mela.
Huh? Jamela. Sometimes it's fun being drunk. Alright, whatever it is, you know, you, instead of your bicycle, you left your Jamela outside. We want to have a few, you know, industrialists and magnates and whatever. So all of us, I would like to see all of you become very qualified, all of our householders. We hope that you get the best jobs and you live in the biggest homes. You keep one room for me when I visit. Then you should pass your exams. But remember the final exam. Time of death. Your parents aren't going to help you. What do you study? Medicine? Your stethoscope won't help you. Nothing will help you. Just like Vishu, pretty soon he's taking sannyas. No? Did I get that wrong? Technically, he's already a sannyasi. Any other questions? Don't worry, I don't make jokes about everyone. Hear you better.
Hare Krishna,
Prabhu. Anything else?
I want to ask you about a meeting that there was one stroke of that one topic on the whole meeting that Jnana system, Jnana, Jnana system, Jnana, Jnana system, Jnana, Jnana. So, I'm on the CEO of MIM, that I'm the most organic about 3 years old plus 1916 government, and we have brought it all together. Before I start my power, I prayed for Guru Manami and the President Krishna Mandurandha. Then I just said, I do concentrate on Krishna. I know it's difficult, but you can just tell me that everybody who can be involved in practical duty, they can do the practical duty or go to Krishna, so you can just dream on it a little bit.
Break for you a little bit, what you see?
Brief on this. That's interesting. Brief. Okay, I'll speak briefly. Well, my Guru Maharaj was a businessman. And actually the sannyasis used to complain about him, because they wanted him to take up the managership, to become the manager of the temple in Allahabad. But, you know, he was maintaining his family and doing his business and writing the Bhagavad Gita commentary, not the one we have now, the one he was writing this way. So, for tea biscuits, but anyway. So they were complaining that he wasn't doing enough management. And Bhakti Siddhanta said, don't bother him, in time he will do everything. So, each and every one of us, just like ISKCON. ISKCON is a confederation of temples. Now, confederation means that each temple is responsible for its own individual management. Prabhupada did not like centralization. The only thing he centralized was the Bhaktivedanta book trust. But otherwise, each temple was responsible, and each temple should develop the qualities and the skills so that they can do everything locally. So ISKCON is a confederation of temples which are united together by their surrender to our Acharya and to the governing body which gives us policies. But otherwise everything is uniquely local. So in the same way within the ashram, we're all devotees. We're cooperating together. We're working together. We're trying to feel a spirit of oneness. But we're also individuals, very much. And we have to make our own decisions about everything. We can get good advice and guidance from the Vaishnavas, but the choices are ultimately our responsibility. So, you have to see to what level you want to remain within the world, using everything to serve Krishna, or to what level you want to renounce the world and be seen like, you know, a renounced grihastha. That's your choice. And there should be no envy between anyone, because everyone gets the results of their own choices. Name the game and play the same. An expression.
you make your choices. So don't be so concerned what general devotees may think of you. Try to get your guidance from advanced devotees and take their advice seriously. And like I said about the last gentleman, it may appear to some people that you're not doing as much as you could be doing, but if you feel you are, then live with that. And if Krishna wants to give you a message that you're not, don't worry, he will. He'll give you that message in a very dynamic way. We are a confederation of devotees also. At the time of death, you only have your own self to account to. To thine own self be true. Huh? Who said that? Huh? That's right, it said in the Bible. I can't remember who said it though. Jesus, maybe. Anyway, something like that. It was true. You really have to be quite in touch with yourself, in the sense that don't try to live others' lives, don't be artificial, but at the same time, try to follow in the footsteps of saintly persons. Mahajana Yenagata Sapanta. But, Prabhupada liked different things than Bhakti Siddhanta. They weren't the same in everything. Although he was definitely the best disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. But Bhakti Siddhanta didn't use harmonium. Prabhupada did. Bhakti Siddhanta didn't touch money. Srila Prabhupada touched a lot of money. Even, if you listen to Shyam Sundar, speculated on gold when he was in Switzerland. I think you've heard that story from Shyam Sundar. They had this machine in Switzerland which could, a computer readout, digital readout that was giving exactly second by second the rate of gold around the world. So Prabhupada got very enamored by it, and he ordered Shyam Sundar to put a couple of $100 on gold. And he would sit there watching it go up and down, watching. So then after a while, somebody was complaining or something. Shyam Sundar wasn't clear about it. But anyway, finally Prabhupada said, okay, sell. But he made $1,000. And he was just having fun. For him, he is at a level, just like there's a saying that if you see Lord Nityananda go into a liquor shop, you should go and buy him a drink, right? No. If you see Nityananda go into a liquor shop, he's gone there for preaching. If you see Sridhar Swami go into a liquor shop, please go and save him. So, there are certain people who are, their activities are not easily understandable. Nityananda was called Avadhuta. There was one Bansidas Babaji, he was even more Avadhuta. He had a little deity and he would offer the deity prasadam. Used to carry the deity around with him on a string, You carry your lunchbox, he carried his deity. And set him down and offer him prasadam. And then he'd pick him up and he'd slap his face and say, "Hey, you're something, you naughty boy," you know. He was in a different rasa than we can understand. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta would not allow any of his disciples to go and visit Vansudas because they would misunderstand. So there's no need for us to try to understand too much, especially if it's not our responsibility. Fault finding, I'm dealing with one. Krishna help. One disciple who's, you know, from a Brahmin family, from Madras, and he got some kind of bad association when he first came. Didn't tell me about it. One man who's now, that man has changed his consciousness. He's a professor at IIT Kanpur, and he is now working very cooperatively with the devotees. But initially, he instilled some doubts in people's minds. So this was the first person that this devotee that I'm dealing with met. So anyway, he ended up in Canada, and he's got a very good job with Fujitsu, and very humble, and so many good qualities. But he wants to be able to criticize wrong things. And I keep trying to tell him, yes, Prabhupada said, if you see ignorance and don't do something about it, then you become part of that ignorance. You should not be just blind. But there is a way to rectify problems. And if it's not your responsibility to get your sword out and, you know, go after the offender, if that's not your job, then you just write it down and tell the authorities and then let go. Life's too short. You have a lot of work to do on your own spiritual life, by the way. Vaishnava, you look in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, third chapter, verse 18, somewhere down there, I forget exactly. Well, it says, a Vaishnava does not try to find fault in others, but rather he finds out his own faults and corrects them as far as possible. We've got a lot of work to do just to clean our own hearts. So we may see problems, okay. If someone's not doing something correctly, breaking the regulative principles, or speaking the philosophy wrongly, whatever it may be. Okay, Abraham Lincoln said, he has a heart, he has a right to criticize, he has a heart to help. Well, don't just criticize someone, you do better. Prabhupada would always say that. Don't just criticize, you do better, or at least help the situation. So neither we are interested in finding fault in others, nor are we interested in the false criticisms of others. You make your decisions in your life, make sure you're in the mode of goodness, follow the regulative principles, chant your rounds, and go forward. Make advancement, be positive, and you'll succeed, and you'll affect people around you, and be attractive, and they'll also want to be devotees. Negative people do not attract. Negative, fault-finding complainers, they do not attract. Positive, enthusiastic, enlivened people, they attract people. And that's what we have to be situated in our sadhana, situated in our routine, situated in our service, reading, chanting, everything to the best we can do. We have to adjust our material life, our family life, our business life, everything we have to adjust so that the major portion is Krishna consciousness. and get on with it. Are there any other questions? So how does it feel to be down here in Gokula? I was told that it's better to be down here than upstairs where it's very suffocating. There were 700 people upstairs. That would be very suffocating. I can just see the headlines. 700 Hare Krishna suffocate to death. First floor temple. Of course, it'd be a nice way to go in front of the deities, but. It's taking shape. Taking shape. We never, as I said, knew what Prabhupada had in mind, his plan. Even to this day, it hasn't taken full shape. But it's unfolding, unfolding. So we get some idea, we know. I don't think anybody knows. You know New Vrindavan? You've all heard of New Vrindavan? They had no plan. We should have a plan here. They had no plan for the construction of New Vrindavan. Every day there was a new innovation or a new idea or a new opportunity. It just kind of grew non-organically. I don't know how it grew. Just by love. So this is also developing. We have no idea what is going to come forth from here in 20 years. They ask you when you are getting into the communications field or you're trying to create a mission statement or for your organization, they'll ask you a question like, you know, it's 5 years from now and a reporter walks in from the biggest newspaper in the city and asks you to tell something about your organization, what's going on there, what will they see, and what will you say? So what will we see 5 years from now? What do we want to see? How do we want the temple to be? And that's how very likely will be. What we want to happen, Krishna will give us. So I want this Radha Gopinath temple and Radha Gopinath bhaktas and Prabhupada Nuvas, Iskanets, what else? I want you all to be very successful, and I want you all to become preachers. Individually, don't rely on a few others. Everyone can be a preacher. Whether you're a cook, whether you clean the bathrooms, you can go out and tell people how nice it is to clean Krishna's bathrooms. That's saying you can be the best bungies in the whole universe. For Krishna. We have devotees in Pakistan and Karachi. I went there a few times. Stayed with them and their jobber puppies. They're Gujaratis and they couldn't afford to leave Pakistan at the time of partition. And mostly they were bungies. But very nice devotees, very wonderful devotees, very ecstatic, and under constant threat, you know. All of you, you practically, you don't know what fear and threat is. You come here, okay, there's a fear and threat that your parents may find out that you're lying, okay, that's... This is really not a major, you know, life-threatening fear. You don't know what austerity is so much. Because this is pretty opulent for even what we had in India in the early days.
nowadays, and even today, some temples don't have this much facility. So you haven't really tasted. So you have to go out and put your false ego on the line. You have to preach everywhere, seriously, to your boss, to your workers, to your friends. These are your friends here. You don't have any other friends except for devotees. I told my brother, we have the same blood, brothers, and come from the same womb. It was 5 years later I was first. He said, we're together, we're brothers, we love each other. Our family is tight. It is amazing kind of, in that way, our family, a bunch of brothers and sister and mother. And I said, really, you want to put his arm around me and tell me, Sridhar, they call me Sridhar. We're brothers. And I said, no, I don't have any attraction here. Sometimes I'm very blunt. He didn't like that at all. Of course, I'm nice to them. I preach to them. I talk to them about what they want to talk to. Even, talk a little nonsense sometimes, just to, get close to them. But because he was so pointedly pushing me on this thing, I said, no. I have no attraction here. My family's over there on the other side of the river at the temple. These are your friends here. Your only true friends. And therefore, if you go out and preach and you think you lost some friends because you were preaching, don't worry, they weren't your friends anyway. If they're not happy to hear the good news that you have, even they say, hey, that's wonderful, I'm really happy that you found a path. It's not for me just now, maybe later, but I'm really, I'm really happy for you, and I'll come visit you sometimes. Even that's fine. But people who see you coming and they go to the other side of the street so you don't talk to them, who needs them? You need them like you need another hole in your head, and you already got mine. Who needs such friends? You need them like you need another hole in your head. So go out and preach fearlessly for your whole life till your last breath. And you get tremendous realization. You get attraction for chanting. You want to know, when will that day be mine when tears will come constantly from my eyes while chanting your holy names? From the Sikshastra. When will tears flow constantly? You'd like to know, actually. Do these things happen? Does it become so endearing and so sweet? I think so. And you can find out by preaching. And chanting also, that preaching pleases Lord Chaitanya directly. One who's got life, he can preach. I don't know how many times I've said that. Now you got all us fired up at Google. We're going to make our video too. We're going to call it the Sophisticated Temple. So good on you. Good on you. Inspire the preaching. We lead preachers. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.